This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
What time is it?
You're locked into the flagship, an Ole Miss podcast powered by College Corner.
Here we go.
One, two, three.
Get your daily Rebel sports fix at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com.
Welcome into the flagship, Hit That Line edition, week 7. I'm your host, Zach Berry. Coming to you from the College Corner studio. College Corner, 3 locations. We've got Oxford, Ridgeland, and Flowood. You can check them out, collegecornerstore.com. They've got new sip hats available. I tweeted out the link for that. You can check it out on the website. And the new Realtree design gear is slowly coming in as well. So make sure if you're wanting to get the new Realtree look prior to the Oklahoma game, when the helmets will be unveiled, then get on over to College Corner. Show is also brought to you by our good buddy Drew Moak and USA Benefits Group. If you're looking to cut those health insurance premiums 20 to 30%, you can give him a call, 601-953-8449, or check him out, usabg.com/DMOAK. You can get your free quote today. Speaking of College Corner in Oxford, Mississippi, another proud sponsor of the show, LB's Meat Market, 2008 University Avenue. Go see Greg and the folks over there. $10 lane train specials, everything in the freezers, $2 off. And now you can text them and order ahead of time when you can swing by, pick up your protein. Get your stuff ready for the grill this weekend, as we are going to get into it here shortly. It is the slate of all slates. It is going to be fantastic television for college football this weekend. Before we get into that, a couple more bills we need to pay. We also want to give a shout out to our friends at Roback, roback.com. You can go ahead and snag you some merch, 20% off when you use promo code JUICE. They will be getting official Ole Miss polos, gear, all of that. They will get that for next football season. For now, they do have the Mississippi-themed polos. You can check those out. Can't recommend them enough. Fantastic stuff. Roback.com, and promo code is JUICE for 20% off. Last but certainly not least, proud returning sponsor of the Hit That Line show, HomeFieldApparel.com. Homefield, we are big fans of them here. They've got the VIP boxes. They've got everything you need and more. They've got coaches' jackets. Check them out, homefieldapparel.com. When you do, use promo code LASTDANCE24 for 15% off. All right, without further ado, let's bring in Legal Gambling Counsel, as we've got Ben, we've got Nick. Austin was on vacation for fall break with the fam. He just made it back to town after dealing with Hurricane Helene and then, I guess, Hurricane Milton traffic. So I'm imagining if it was anything like my drive to Columbia, you want to get out of the car and go stare back your eyelids. So Austin is not here. He does have his locks. We'll get to those. But Ben, Nick, good evening. Welcome to week 7.
What's up, man? I wish I was going to be in front of a TV this weekend, because it is a loaded slate. I mean, at 2 versus 3, the first top 3 matchup in like what?
Where are you going to be?
Years or something, not in the SEC.
Where are you going to be? Why are you not in front of a TV?
Well, there'll be a game in front of me, but I won't be in front of a TV.
Oh. Okay. Tiger Stadium. Got it. Yeah, I outside of being in Tiger Stadium, I don't think anybody can outdo me this weekend in terms of experiencing it, doing a golf trip. And I know I'm bringing two TVs. I think we're going to have at least two or three more. We're going to have a full
house. You're going to have two because they're played at the same time.
Yeah, Oregon, Ohio State, the same time as Ole Miss. Yeah, we're going to have a lot. It's basically just going to look like Nick's house. We're going to have a lot of televisions. Yeah. Well, we will have all the bases covered this weekend. It's going to be fun. The slate is wild. Before we get into the slate, let's go ahead and dive into this one. Ole Miss, number 9, headed to Death Valley, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, LSU. The line has, I believe, I'll hit refresh here on Vegas Insiders. I believe it is still at 3.5. It has not moved since. Opened at 2.5. Number 9, Ole Miss, 5-1. This is the 7th straight week for the Rebels. And LSU, 4-1 after the bye last week. 6:30 kick, ABC. I want to hear your thoughts, Nick. I know Ben's got some thoughts. We've been kicking this around back and forth all day and last couple days, but I think I've settled on where I'm at with this one. But Nick, I'll give you the first lick here.
Okay, you did that because I think you think that I'm going to have like strong takes about things. I'm not.
Maybe.
In the camp of strong takes, I just feel, and I feel like you should have gone first so I could bounce back off of it. I just feel like things are going to be difficult in Baton Rouge. I went down there 2 years ago. We were up 14-0. Different teams. I'm not saying they're not. I went down there 2 years ago, up 14-0, a very good quarterback. And as soon as our offense stalled, it stalled, and it happens fast. And now I don't think that LSU's offense is as good as that Jaden Daniels. He was just starting to hit his stride offense. But when our offense stalls, it happens quickly. And I fear we go up. Let's say we go up 7-0. Our offense stalls on the next drive. They tie it 7-7. It stalls again. That's almost two stalls. Next thing we know, it's 14-7. And now we've had two straight drives. We've got a banged up running back. We got banged up receivers, of which we only throw to one. All of a sudden, it's 14-7. They just come over the intercom and 4,000 decibels announced that it's nighttime in Death Valley. And I just, things happen fast. I sat down, I went to the Auburn basketball game last year and I sat like a couple rows behind the bench and we got blown out. And I'm not comparing our basketball team at Auburn to our football team at LSU. But when I compare, I had no idea how fast things happen. And you look up and you're down 18 points and you're like, where's the first media timeout? My point is that it happens so fast, and I feel like time ticks on the clock. It ticks by halves, but in real life, it ticks in twos down there at LSU. It just things happen so quickly. I look and I see that defense that's been really bad all year for LSU. All it takes is a couple stops, and I mean, it takes an overthrow to Juice Wells. It takes us running, hurrying up and to the line of scrimmage and running right to the back of our center twice. Which we seem to do. It just takes a couple of those, and all of a sudden things get going really quickly. That's my fear.
This is like big Ole Miss has like the 22 defense energy coming. I'm not seeing that. Like the 2022 Ole Miss team, does it have a player that starts in this front seven?
Well, wasn't Ivy on that team?
Yeah, a younger Ivy doesn't start over the older Ivy.
Sure. Yeah. Now, I get what you're saying, but I think that a really good offense, and y'all know this in today's college football,
I hear
really good defense, again, a really good offense, the offense scores. You know what I mean?
Let's look at it this way. Ole Miss, who has given up 3 touchdowns in 24 quarters of football, is now – having to not ever stall on offense. Like what you're saying is like, well, Ole Miss goes up 7-0 and then they go 3-and-out and LSU scores. It's like, uh-oh, we're in trouble. It's happened too fast. And it's like, okay, we've given up our 4th touchdown on the season. Everybody panic.
I see what you're saying. Would you agree that we faced at least 2 of the bottom 3 offenses thus far in the SEC?
Probably.
State. State. I mean, South Carolina's offense was, I mean, Sellers is just such a bad really, pass.
I haven't really kept up with everyone, but probably. I mean, but keep in mind, we did hold one of those to 3 points.
True.
The other, like, was they were 4 of 14 or 4 of 16 on third down, but they also had 4 penalties that converted for first downs for them. Like, and on one of them, the drive going into halftime in Kentucky, and we don't have to talk about the old games. They got 2 third down conversions on penalties that were, let's be honest, bullshit, and scored a touchdown on that drive. If I'm not, or maybe a field, I can't remember. No, touchdown. Was it 10-7.5?
Touchdown.
Mm-hmm. So like, I don't, everything that had to happen for Kentucky did. Now, your point's well taken. It's hard to win at Tiger Stadium. It's hard to win on the road at night.
It is.
It's also hard to win at Auburn at night. And we did that last year comfortably. I'm not calling this LSU team that Auburn team, but it's not to say that we haven't been road tested before. We went to A&M in 22 at night. And so in the same quarterback, I know we had Quinshon Judkins, who we don't have now, and miss, frankly, we do. We went to Tennessee at night in 21, and let me tell you, Tiger Stadium can get loud. They will not get as loud as what Tennessee was at kickoff that game. Like that was vitriolic. That wasn't rivalry loud. That was, we want to kill Lane Kiffin loud. Won that one, of course, that was a different group of players.
That was loud. Where Ben and I were standing directly next to each other, and you couldn't talk.
Yeah, it was so loud that night. And so, I don't know. I have a different. I agree with you in that, you know, quote, things happen fast, but, and Nussmeier's a really good player, but the LSU team that did that to us in 22 had probably the best passer currently in the NFL, or top 5 passer in the NFL, in Jaden Daniels. I mean, Washington is like scoring every drive right now.
They
had Malik Nabers
in the NFL.
Yeah, they have Malik Nabers, who's a top 10 receiver in the NFL. They had, what was number 8's name? I can't even remember it now.
Not Brian Thomas.
They had another one. Boutte.
Keyshawn Boutte was on that team?
Yeah. Yeah. Boutte was in 22.
Where is that guy? I forgot all about him.
And then that was Mason Taylor's coming out party. That was a Harold Perkins coming out party. Only Mason Taylor is left from who we just said. I'm not seeing it. Like, the numbers are not there for me. I guess there's a world where we're not as good as we thought we were from a pass defense standpoint, and like collectively, and Nussmeier puts enough points together to, you know, make it a close game in the fourth quarter, which we really don't want to be. I mean, who does, right, on the road? But I say all that to say, man, I'm big on Ole Miss here. I don't want to jinx it, but numbers-wise, like everything else, we haven't won there in 16 years. Can you believe it's been that long since Jevon Snead played there?
It doesn't feel like it.
It doesn't.
0-8.
0-8 in 16 years. Hmm. But the home team is holding serve in that game unless you have Joe Burrow or you're on probation.
Yeah.
And so or both. So I'm going to eventually take the Rebels. I don't know what I'm picking for the score yet. But like I told y'all before, I think it's probably a 3-score game that becomes a 2-score game late. I don't see a world where we're like playing catch up with their offense. Like, yes, their offense is good, but I mean, they scored 20 on USC. They were in a dogfight with UCLA for a half or more until the heat got to UCLA. All the intangibles of the coming off the bye week and playing at home and us having traveled the week before and us on our 7th straight game, that all favors them. But I wonder really how much that helps. You know what I'm saying? Like, does USC last week come out slow, USC being South Carolina, come out slow against us because they were coming off a bye week. I know that sounds weird, but you get out of sync a little bit.
Yeah. I was going to say, if you're pretty healthy, you kind of want to keep playing, right? Like you kind of want to keep your rhythm, especially after losing to Kentucky. There's nothing worse than a bad loss and then having a bye right after it.
And also, let's be honest, these guys are college kids. When I was 19, if we had had a bye week, you know what I'm doing? I'm probably just like getting up in the bed. No, I'm not at all. I'm going to the square or I'm going to my parents' house and you're getting like, you're eating junk food and like getting drunk in the bye week.
Everything Nick said, I agree with, like, drive stall, you get frustrated, scripted drives don't work, you get off script a little too early, whatever. The big, asterisk here is Ole Miss has the number three rush defense efficiency group. The pass defense efficiency is still 15. I know the secondary gets picked on because the front seven is so good. The pass defense, they have a lot of penalties. They give up
rankings opponent adjusted?
Yes, I believe so. This is from SEC Mike. He does it for every SEC matchup. He compares them. The big one for me is Ole Miss's pass offense efficiency is 15. LSU's pass defense efficiency is 104.
Yeah, they're bad on defense.
And this is – we talked a little bit before we started where, we were kind of talking about how people are kind of wish-casting LSU to snap out of it and play big this game. I feel like everybody's just kind of assuming that LSU has DBU-quality guys back there, and it doesn't.
Yeah.
This is not – this is the first time in a long time that I can't tell you the name of a DB. And I think that
I couldn't last year and they didn't get any better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now their best pass rusher's out for the season.
Yeah. He's done. And this one's going to be, and look, you can say, well, duh, every game is, but the big matchup in this one is the trenches because LSU's offensive line got a couple dudes that people think are going first round. Will Campbell, left tackle. They've only allowed two sacks on the year, but then you're bringing in Ole Miss coming into Tiger Stadium, leads the nation in sacks. So, something's got to give type shit here. Nick, your point about the offense stalling and that, like my response to that, if this was a debate format, is, well, the Ole Miss defense is going to be out there. So you just get a stop. Ole Miss has been good about that, right? The offense stalled in the Kentucky game.
Right.
Defense settled in, got some stops, got the ball back. So, yeah, styles make fights type game here where I think you're going to get – Kiffin's going to feel out what Baker's going to be doing, see how they're going to try to attack the offensive line. The big thing for me, we not everything's in a vacuum, obviously, because, South Carolina destroys Kentucky, and then Ole Miss destroys South Carolina. So you can't do that, but you can look at, like, trends and things that happened in the game. South Carolina went up and down the field on LSU and had no issue moving the football. The big thing for me that I think is probably going to be big on Saturday, Lenore Sellers ran the ball 10 times for 88 yards in that game. Lots of green grass in the middle of the field. Lots of wide open spaces. So I imagine Jackson Dart's probably going to have a little bit more design runs.
Now, he did have that long touchdown run against them, if I remember right.
Yeah, 75.
So a lot of that came in one carry.
Yeah, but like
– But Rocket Sanders probably averaged 8 or 9 yards a carry too.
Yeah. And Sellers had two rushing touchdowns. But then kind of also looking at LSU and – people want to say, well, Ole Miss hasn't played anybody. Well, LSU's played Nichols, who scored 21 on them. They played UCLA, who is absolute dog shit. UCLA scored 17. And then South Alabama put up 10. This is an Ole Miss offense that I think Trey Harris is playing. Oh, I mean, you're going to have NFL players out there, and you got a, you know, an NFL caliber quarterback. I don't know.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm with you, Ben. I feel like this is it's kind of weird where, like, this is the first time in a long time where Ole Miss is just the better team on paper. And
in hindsight, I think we were last year.
Yeah, outside of Jaden Daniels and maybe a couple of receivers.
I mean, think about how good Daniels threw the ball against us last year for them to keep scoring with us. I mean, I know they had the 8 or 9 point lead.
Yeah. Jaden Daniels is probably the best deep ball thrower that I've seen like the last decade.
Oh, best deep ball thrower I've ever seen.
I mean,
that was the best passing performance I've ever seen in Vaught Hemingway.
He was dropping stuff. He was
incredible.
There were throws he made where it didn't matter if you had Charles Woodson out there. They're not covered.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of them had it covered perfectly. Look, it is a college football game. These are 20-year-old kids. Like, it's possible that anybody can beat or blow anybody out. I mean, Northern Illinois went to Notre Dame and beat them,
yeah.
Right? Notre Dame, there isn't a player on Northern Illinois' team that would have gotten an offer from Notre Dame. So, and right. You think in the portal era, if they had a good one, he would have transferred out. So, you know, anything is possible. You can't call it, but if I were predicting, I would say that Ole Miss is going to win and to cover. And that is partly from an Ole Miss lens and partly because every metric says they will.
Yeah. The one number to me outside of the, you know, something's got to give in the trenches, the one I keep coming back to, Ole Miss is number 2 offense in the country in explosive plays, and LSU's in the hundreds and trying to stop that. And I think Kiffin is going to be able to scheme up some ways to get guys behind the defense. He's going to pull a bait and switch. He's going to run plays in the first quarter to set up stuff in the third. I don't know.
If there's penalties, we don't need them to be untimely for us, right? Like
the 3rd and 9 pass interference that gives them a first down, that kind
of
stuff.
Like I'm almost of the opinion, like force them to complete it, but like don't give it to them. Don't foul and then give them the first down.
My feeling on this is I think if you're Ole Miss, you have to get out to a fast start, take the crowd out of it early, and then just let your defense just cook. It's been good all year. It's probably one of the best, if not the best, front 7 in the country with the linebacking crew now is really, really strong.
They're really good.
I think you jump out on their ass and get up 14-0 and then see what happens.
Man, like, and it's deep too. I mean, Pooh Paul, Dottery, Kari Coleman, those guys hit, man. When they hit you, Coleman nearly killed that guy for South Carolina. Oh,
yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah. Nick's on mute here with his rebuttal, but
I wondered why I couldn't get a word in.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's fair to say that if Dart plays the same game he played last week, just the offense and just Dart, not the defense. Obviously, if the defense plays as well, we're going to win the game. But if Dart plays the same game, I mean, let's just totally take out the juice fumble. That happens again, I'll just leave the stadium. Like at that, if he fumbles on a 60-yard rub route and you know at the 2-yard line again, I'll leave the stadium. But if just Dart, you know, not exactly on the same page, I guess, with juice. If Dart plays the exact same game, I think we're in, like, maybe not trouble as in we're going to lose, but where it's a tie or a 3-point game. Man, you disagree late in the game. That's all. I just don't think Dart played great. He played what would y'all give him last week on an A, B, C?
Oh, like a C.
I would say a C plus C flat.
That's good though. Like we still won 27-3. I mean, it's not correct. Good that he played, but we still won 27-3.
If I tell you he's playing the C flat game on Saturday night, do we win or lose?
Oh, we win again because we're playing that same team again. I mean, they played against each other before. Like Here's the thing. It's not as if South Carolina.
At South Carolina.
LSU won in a fluke.
No, I agree with that.
And that was
a second loss with a healthier Rocket Sanders, to be fair.
No, I agree with you. I'm just saying, like, it didn't look like LSU would make stupid mistakes and then South Carolina would capitalize, and that's how they were keeping it close. Like, some teams win, let's say Kentucky and Ole Miss, when you have an inopportune fumble, you hit a fourth and long, you know, a lot of things happen. You miss a field goal, like all that stuff. I mean, people forget we still had a chance to tie it and miss the field goal at the end, despite all that stuff. But in this Carolina LSU game, none of that happened. Carolina just was whipping them at one point. And then, and LSU, you know, that's, I say that, like, I think that we need Dart to play well. I agree with you. We need him to play well in order for us to win comfortably. I think we can win in spite of that.
Yeah, simply because
we're so good up front on defense.
We're great.
Like, no, Nussmeier is great. He is a great player. It is hard to be great when guys are flying around your head.
Right.
I mean, it just is.
I think that's my worry about when I say, like, we could go three and out quickly. Let's say that Dart has, like, a D-plus first quarter. You only get on any set of downs, on any three plays, either one or two passes, right? Very rarely are we throwing the ball all three times. Let's say we run it up the gut for three, and then second down is incomplete. Now we're down to, like, one pass. That's my worry is with South Carolina – they were going to get the ball back, and they were going to score one out of every eight possessions. They're not going to score very often. Really, they only scored because we gave them a short field. Whereas with LSU, I think they're probably going to score on close to 50% of possessions. Let's say they get 12 in a game. They may not score six times, but they're going to score 30, 40, 50%. South Carolina wasn't – so my point is it's somewhat likely they score if we don't. South Carolina was never going to score if we gave them the ball back. We could continue doing that. And that's my worry is you get down and all of a sudden now you got to pass it twice. And if he's still not, I don't know if it's an injury thing. I don't, some people were saying he's throwing.
Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this right quick. Do you, and I know early season, whatever, do you know how many yards Mason Marks threw for against LSU? Don't look it up.
Who?
Mason Moss. Excuse me. Miller Moss.
Close to.
No, don't say it, Zach. I'm asking that.
370.
Yeah, 378.
Okay.
378. Yeah.
Is he better than Jackson Dart? No. The answer to your question is no. Are his receivers better than ours? Absolutely not.
No. But we don't, I mean, we've only shown that we can throw it to one guy.
I mean, Juice had almost 100 yards receiving.
No, he did. And then
everybody's just pissed because he fumbled it.
He did.
My thing is,
but how many of that, like 60 that came in one play?
Yeah, but I mean, again, I think this shows just, it just proves how Kiffin is just, he's a matchup guy. Like he coaches games like NFL OCs, and he's gonna find a weakness and he's gonna do it until you stop it. And
right.
I mean, the Kentucky game, they were given a 10-yard cushion on Trey Harris. So, yeah, throw him the ball. Just get him in the open field and let him, you know, break a tackle, get a first down, maybe, you know, chunk play. But, yeah, I think the one thing that I keep going back to Kentucky for, offensively, looking at it, Jax Dart played terrible. He would tell you that. Bad game, bad scheme, play calling was weird. Ole Miss still was in that game to win it. They only lost by three. Flip it over to the defense. Kentucky needed a fortuitous bounce on the goal line to go ahead, to get the go-ahead score, and needed a bunch of penalties and a prayer on fourth and seven. Still only scored 20 and won by three. So on both sides, I feel like Ole Miss, even if it's a B-minus or C-plus game, is still good enough to beat most people on most nights. I think even if Jackson Dart has the mediocre performance he had against South Carolina against LSU, I still think Ole Miss wins. It's just a lot closer.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not.
If Dart has a B-plus or A-minus game, I mean, this is 38-17, 38-20.
Peach Bowl type.
Yeah. Win.
I mean, is LSU better than Penn State?
No. Hell no. But yeah, I know everybody's going to talk about Death Valley and how, you know, look, LSU LSU's fan base is the only fan base that drinks alcohol and is really loud. I get it.
But they're the only fan base that drinks. They're the only fan base that cheers. They're the only fan base that, you know, they're the only team that plays well at home. You know, they're the only, like, I sat with Nick at the 2015 Alabama game when we won in Tuscaloosa. That game didn't kick off until 8:15.
Yeah.
And they were so loud that night. And Alabama fans are known not to cheer. They were loud. Didn't matter. Still won. Went to Auburn last year. They were loud. Didn't matter. Still won. Like, we beat Texas A&M in 14 on the road like an absolute dog. And y'all remember that? It's the largest college football crowd of all time.
Yeah.
And I think we were up 28-3 at one point.
Yeah.
So I don't think about that a lot. Like, especially when you have that your average players, an upperclassman, or the average age of your players or upperclassmen. I just don't think they don't care. Like, I love that quote by Ivy. I read it either this week or last week where it was like, they were like, what do you think about going to play LSU? And he was like, our opponent is faceless. Like, we don't think about the uniform. Like, it's just, and I'm putting words in his mouth. I don't know exactly what he said, but it was a great line. I was like, man, that is so good to have that type of mentality. It's like, I don't care if it's Vanderbilt or Alabama. Like, we just go out there to play hard and win.
He said they're asking him about Ole Miss hasn't won in Baton Rouge since 2008. Jared Ivey said, quote, I was seven. Probably 50 guys on this roster weren't even on this team last year. That's more of something for the fans to talk about. What we try to focus on is football, white lines, turf, and grass. All these opponents are faceless.
Yeah, it's a great quote.
That's what you want in your defensive end. Just black soul, just death machine.
I mean, just newsflash. You play in the SEC, it's going to be loud. Like,
and Nick also too, and I know you know this. I mean, we're kind of going back and forth here, bantering about this game. I feel like this Ole Miss team is very different, and I think it's going to come in handy on the road Saturday and at Arkansas. This team is old.
Old.
I don't know. I wish we could figure out what the average age on the team is, but you look across the board. All dudes that have played a lot of football, a lot of games in loud stadiums, and Dart being a third year guy in the system helps out. You've got a lot of guys that are older that have been there, done that. I feel like it's at some point you're either built for it or you're not. And like Pooh Paul was saying, like, he loves playing road games. Like, he likes when it's everybody against them. And I feel like if you have a team full of guys like that relish it, it helps.
Now, eight seniors start on offense. Eight seniors. And one, two, three, four. There may be five, like, redshirt seniors. So, like, we're talking about, like, the traditional 23-year-old senior.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's going to be big, I think.
Worried about defense. Noise doesn't, like, you don't get loud when the team's on offense, right? Like, when the home team. So that doesn't matter about defense. I don't care if they're 12 years old. But our offense is where the age matters. And they are, I mean, these guys have played everywhere. Like,
outside of Caden Lee, who do we have anybody that's before their third year in college? Do we have anybody who's before their fourth year in college on offense, other than Caden Lee?
Diego Pounds
a fifth year. Harris is a fourth year. Dart's a fourth year. Everybody on the line is old.
Redshirt sophomore.
Pounds is I think he's a redshirt sophomore.
Yeah, so he's in his third year.
That's a crazy.
And with the portal with Tiffin, this is what it's going to.
Diego's a junior.
True junior.
Yeah. That's a crazy stat.
He's the youngest guy on the offense other than Caden Lee. And by like by like 2 years too.
And Caden Lee still can't buy a cold beer.
On defense, the only non-seniors we have starting.
Perkins, sophomore.
Oh yeah, he starts now. But Corey Coleman. Walter Nolan's a junior. TJ Dodery's a sophomore. Pooh Paul, is he a junior or is he a senior?
I feel like he's a junior.
And Kennedy
is Kari, a junior. Corey Coleman's a senior. Chris Paul.
Long story short, we've got like five guys on the whole in the 22 that are that aren't seniors.
Dodery, by the way, is a junior, like academic, because he redshirted last year.
Yeah. So
this is his third year playing college ball.
Basically, the entire 22 outside of what, two guys?
Yeah.
Can all buy cigarettes and can probably all get a drink at the bar.
I mean, Watkins is in his third year at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And he, so is Piggies. He didn't start here. Yeah, right. Piggies, yeah. We're so, I mean.
So is Jackson Dart.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. That's underrated. I don't think that gets talked about enough. We talk about it on this show a lot, about how old the team is and experienced. But, yeah, when you break it down like that and look at offense, defense, you know, how old it, like, that's going to help, especially when you're trying to play 16, 17 games. It's going to help.
Average age has got to be like pushing 23 on offense.
Yeah,
I mean, by the time you factor in fifth year seniors, and I mean a lot of people will be graduating high school at 19 or something.
Yeah, it's kind of skewed too because Priestcorn's 32, but
that hurts it. Yeah, yeah. Actually, the average age is actually 26.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good stat.
Who is starting at center for LSU?
It's not Gambler.
I think it's DJ Chester. He is a freshman.
Nah, he's
he's
a redshirt junior, redshirt freshman. Yeah, he's gonna die.
That's bad.
Walter Nolan's gonna erase him.
Oh my god!
Why is he so big? He's 6'6", 322, center?
He's probably awesome. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Backup is a freshman, too.
But he's going to have Piggies and Nolan.
And then when somebody has to go out for a breather, you got Xavier Harris coming in.
Our line's crazy.
That's a handful, man.
I would – hate. I mean, all right, this guy, I mean, even if it's a red shirt, he's what, 20 at the oldest? And he's across, that's if he's got a fall birthday. He's opposite Walter Nolan and JJ Piggies.
Yeah, he played 81 snaps last year.
Jeez.
So this is not like exactly, we play 3-3, right? Because just looking at the snap count last thing, and I did the math. I mean, we're in a 3-3-5, like about 88% of the time. I mean, it's significantly 3-3. I'm not saying that losing Princely is a good thing in any way, but it's almost like we almost had too many players that could play. Now we're going to have Perkins on the field more often because if we're playing a 3-3, you do that math, okay? Piggies, Nolan, that leaves room for one more end.
Ivy.
Yeah, exactly. Now we've got Perkins kind of in there. I mean, he's playing, I guess he's playing D-line, but you got Perkins in there more often. You can have Ivy in there. I just, it's almost like we had too many guys. And again, that sounds crazy. Obviously, I want Princely back, but it did help fix the rotation a little bit.
I think one thing people forget too, which, by the way, Ivy leads the team in sacks.
Oh, he's awesome.
I think people forget how big Jared Ivy is.
Like
he is humongous. Like it's not like he's just a speed guy that he's not just gonna speed rush by the right tackle. Like he's big. Like rewatching the South Carolina game and seeing him set the edge damn near every play. I mean, it's that's crucial to helping your teammates
generate. He's got to be 6'6".
Oh, yeah. He's every bit of 6'6", 265. I mean.
Roster says he's 6'6", 285.
Jesus Christ.
He is huge. He is.
So, yeah, I mean, it's and it doesn't stop when they come out. Like I said, Xavier Harris in the middle. Chris Hardy, you know.
Chris Hardy looks
normal because he's shorter, but he's built like a damn fire hydrant. Then you
would
get
be a kilo stone
Jan if you can
Brown. If he's yeah, I mean, you get Jan Brown coming in. You get William Eccles. You get
William Eccles.
Cam Franklin.
We don't even talk about Cam Franklin. He's a five-star.
And I know they're young guys, but they're still big bodies.
Yeah. And Eccles is playing some. Cam Franklin only got in the last two plays, I think. But I think Eccles had 10 or 12 snaps last week.
Yeah, but like the starting D-line next year is still going to be like Cam Franklin. Sonterian Perkins, a lineman, even though probably not.
Right.
Eccles, Jan Brown. Xavier Harris.
Yeah.
The rotation is still loaded.
And then you potentially fuck around and get Jaheim Otis. I mean,
yeah, he'll probably transfer. And at that point, man, you're right back in it.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get too much into next year, but we're bringing back some linebackers too. Cause a guy like Poopall, I mean, you know,
could go, but might stay.
Yeah. He'd be crazy not to come back here and get some NIL money.
He may be like that one guy who's like the best college player in the country, but he can't. It's not an NFL guy.
Yeah,
right. He's a stick though. I'd draft him. I mean, he's a stick.
He just makes plays.
He does.
He's not Mike Hilton, but I'm saying, remember how we used to talk about like Mike Hilton's going to play a decade in the league? He's still playing. I wouldn't be surprised if Poopall just like hung around. He was out here playing with the Ravens in 2032. Like
Brandon Bolden, just make a career out of being a special teams player.
Yeah.
Play 15 years in the league.
There's something to be said about just like making tackles.
Can you imagine what Bolden's pension check is? And all he did was like, you know, punt and kick.
And he still won't unblock me on Twitter.
That's so weird. Brandon Bolden, unblock Zach on Twitter. He probably didn't even know you're blocked.
Yeah. I mean,
Ole Miss fans, your only choice for daily fantasy sports is Prize Picks. America's number one daily fantasy sports app, Prize Picks has over 5 million active members. And it's fun and it's simple. Pick two or more players from any sport, whether they'll go for more or less of their projected stats, choose flex or power play, and watch the winnings roll in. Flex means you still win even if one of your picks misses. Power plays are higher payouts, but you got to get all of your picks right. Bottom line, you have options that fit your daily fantasy playing style, but only with our friends at Prize Picks. And they've already made me a winner. CeeDee Lamb, an easy pick for more than 96 receiving yards. The only weapon for Dak Prescott in his more or less of 263 passing yards. Even better, you can now get up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. And winning withdrawals with Prize Picks are fast, safe, and secure. When those picks hit, you can get your money in as quick as 15 minutes. So download the Prize Picks app today and use code TALKOFCHAMPIONS. That's code TALKOFCHAMPIONS to get $50 instantly when you play $5. Code TALKOFCHAMPIONS on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive this $50 bonus. It's guaranteed with Prize Picks. Run your game.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I mean, great example, recent guy at Ole Miss, Mark Robinson. just a yeah. dude that just goes to work and just makes plays, and he's still in the league playing with Steelers. So, I don't know. I put my prediction in. You'll see it at omspirit.com when we put it up on the site on Friday. I think that Ole Miss is in a good spot to make another statement. I think that Ole Miss proved that it was pretty salty last week, bounced back. I mean, that was a methodical workman-like just beatdown. I know everybody's going to talk about, well, the offense didn't score in the second half. Didn't need to.
Yeah.
I think, and you guys tell me this, and I'm not doing an offensive apologist thing here, but with six straight weeks of games, and then you've got one more before the bye, do you think Kiffin was probably just, hey, let's throw it into cruise control and just kind of chill?
100%. Like, you got to get the guys off the field. You've got, or at least just shut it down, because
we didn't do that.
No, I'm
not saying you're wrong. I'm saying you're right. We should have gotten the guys off the field. For some reason, we just kept running our top line, and
he's doing the NFL thing.
Yeah, but he shut it down more or less.
He did. Like, he threw a nuke for sure.
You can't. You know, we got to get home. And I have a relative who travels with the team, and he texts me when the plane landed in Tupelo, and I'll tell you when they got back the exact moment. Give me just a second. But good pod, right? 9:50 Saturday night. So those guys, they were home before midnight or by midnight on Saturday night.
It's kind of wild, actually, if you think about it.
Yeah. That's not like being tired from travel. I mean, if you get back at, it'd be one thing. Like, we got screwed in 22 because we got back from Fayetteville at like 4 a.m.
Yeah. Like, we're going to get back from LSU at 2 or 3 a.m. Like, it's going to be like this, assuming this game's, let's say we're leaving the stadium at 11:30.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be same thing. Fortunately, we don't have a game next week.
Right. Or on Thursday of next week, like we did that week. But I mean, yeah, I'm not subscribing to the, oh, they're going to have some like fatigue from the travel. I initially would have, you know, 3 weeks ago, once I found out that they landed in Tupelo at 10 o'clock, you know, unless they took two planes, I doubt it. I mean, I'm sure they're all on the same plane, but you know, I know at least one plane landed at 9:50.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be fun.
Those planes are awesome. They've got DirecTV on it. They were like all watching Clemson and, you know, Arkansas, Tennessee, and all that kind of stuff.
Like, oh, I bet that was actually kind of lit on the plane watching.
I bet Tennessee. It was. True.
Watching Arkansas beat Tennessee, because that helps you if you're Ole Miss.
Yeah, it does. To start off the pitch, if you guys don't mind, I'm going to take, I hate to do it. You guys kind of talked me out of it, but I'm just going to lay on a half unit. LSU +140. Ben told me I wouldn't take LSU money line because I said I wanted them plus the points, but at 140, it's just a little sprinkle.
Can we block that out? Block that out of the show. I was vibing.
We'll fix it in post.
Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll take it off before we get off here, but I did want to go ahead and put that on there at 140. I'm very curious to see.
He's just 140 and he did it. Are you kidding me?
We're walking to the stadium last weekend, and someone texted me, or I don't know if I saw it on Twitter or what, but they're like, the Lions moved 2 points to Ole Miss. I'm very curious to see what it does this weekend, because it always kind of moves, and 2 weeks in a row it was right. It moved towards Kentucky, and what did we do? We came out and looked flat. Then it moved towards South Carolina, and we came out and just destroyed them. I'm very curious to see what it does.
It's going to move towards LSU. The
you think so?
Late money. I mean, there's helmet bias in Wales.
I was gonna say late money is typically the your smart bettors, though.
Right. But I think law of averages is LSU's what, undefeated at home under Brian Kelly at night. They're, you know,
yeah. If it goes below three, like
10-0 or something. Do what?
If it drops from 3.5 to 2.5, I'll be praying. I'll be shook. I'll be shook. I'll say it.
Nighttime,
Death Valley.
Yeah, let me.
I'm gonna lock in Ole Miss.
Minus
right opposite him.
Is it just 3.5? You don't see 3 anywhere.
You can get 3 at 115, but we can do 3.5. Like I don't care.
It's not 3.5.
Yeah. No.
Just
I don't think
3-point line is a pick 'em to me, man. Like I don't.
We're beating them by more than 3 if we beat them. I think so.
This is correct. Yeah, this is college football. Like the 1-point games, it's not the NFL, right? Well, 1-point games happen what, once a year?
A 1.5 line is a pick 'em in college. That's so stupid.
That's
Well, I saw somebody doing a preview of the game. They were like, this could be like last year, the whoever has the ball last. It's like, has nobody watched Ole Miss's defense?
Well, they also had the ball last. Like that's what's stupid.
Yeah,
about
yeah, LSU had the ball last year and win.
We dropped a pick.
Yeah, in the end zone they had the ball.
Was it John Saunders?
Sean Gaddy.
Yeah, Gaddy.
Yeah, Gaddy. I forgot about that guy.
Just for your curiosity here, LSU's 1-4 against the spread. Ole Miss is 6-1 straight up and against the spread in the last 7 games. LSU is 5-0 straight up and against the spread in the last 5 home games versus Ole Miss.
Also, I'm not sure if you guys are aware, it's the 100th anniversary of Tiger Stadium Saturday night.
Of course it is. Of course it is. And they're going to honor Billy Cannon's entire bloodline because that's what they do every time we play them.
At this point, like, what's the anniversary for Billy Cannon?
But it's not a rivalry.
It's just like it's the 63rd anniversary and 65 years. In 2 years, it'll be the 67th anniversary.
They'll still honor him. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
They've done it every time.
It really made their entire program. That punt return legitimately made their program.
It won the Heisman off one play.
One play. Yeah.
It didn't do.
No, but people forget we ended up winning the Sugar Bowl that year. Right. We won the national championship that year.
They split it. They split it with Syracuse. But Ole Miss beat LSU the second time, 21-0 in the Sugar Bowl.
I think
just like, it was just like Alabama and LSU back in 2009. It was exactly like that in 1959. Yeah. Or not 2009, 2011, whatever year that was.
Game of the century, yeah.
Yeah, it was miserable. Miserable game to watch. Who cares who they honor? Just go win. Trends are meant to be broken.
I mean, they honored Bear Bryant the day that Ole Miss beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa. Didn't they like open up the Bear Bryant Center or something that day in 88 and Ole Miss beat them?
There you go.
I'm gonna drop a lock right quick. I know I just went opposite Nick. I'm gonna double dip. Give me Oklahoma +15 against Texas. That's a big number for the Red River, and that game is psychotic. This is only me playing. I think Oklahoma's got a good defense, and Texas, to be honest, they did not look great against Mississippi State. Everybody's talking about, oh, State played hard or whatever. It's like, maybe there's a little bit of a let's rein it back on Texas a little bit and see. You know, maybe they cover 15, but give me the Sooners. I don't like Jackson Arnold, but I do like the defense, and I think they'll make it messy in the Red River and keep it close.
Yeah. Just for the record, Oklahoma's won 5 of 6 in that series, which really surprised me.
Yeah.
The one game they didn't win was when Oklahoma was not very good and Texas was really good. I think it was 49-0. I mean – part of me thinks like that's what's happening again because I think Oklahoma's offense is awful. I'm with you though. Oklahoma's defense is really good, and Texas, they kind of played with their food in that game. I've got 2 bets on that game. I've got, let me make sure I've got it right. I've got under 50.5, seems high, and I've also got a money line sprinkle, just the lightest little sprinkle ever on Oklahoma at 475.
Yeah,
I do not think they're winning, but that's a. They did it a couple of years ago. Good they came out with all right. their stops. The biggest game of the year for them. If they want to have any chance at like doing something big this year, they've got to beat Texas. It's a big game for them. They really get up for it. I mean, you're getting almost 5-1 on Oklahoma. Yeah, +475.
Texas or Austin took Texas -14.5 So he and I are fighting there.
I do think it has a chance to get like 34-0. I really think, but if not, I think it's going to be low scoring.
That's a lot of points on Oklahoma's defense.
Well, no, it is, but I just think that their offense could be so, man, yeah, 30, maybe like 23-24, just like Oklahoma does nothing. I think that's a possibility, but obviously I mean, I kind of, if it's close and you can get 5-1 on a low scoring game, you got to take it.
All right. I'm going to get on the board here. I am going to do, let's go ahead and grab SC team total under 22.5. And one of y'all can double check me on that number while I give my reasoning. The Trojans only scored 17 against Minnesota. Things are weird at night in Minneapolis, but it's, dude, you're about to play Penn State, who has one of the better front sevens in the country. And I think that James Franklin's going to make that an absolute just dogfight. They're going to run the football with Singleton and the other running back that's a stud. His name is escaping me, but they have two really good running backs that are NFL guys. They're going to just try to take the air out of the ball and just wear down SC, and I like that strategy. The new OC is doing wonders for Drew Aller. He looks a lot better than he did in that Peach Bowl, and he was pretty sluggish last year. But, yeah, I like SC to be held under 22.5.
Just to piggyback off, I'm going under 50.5 on that because I don't
– Yeah.
I don't – yeah, like I agree with you on SC. I also think that teams that go across the country, it's kind of showing that they don't do great. I mean, that's a long way to travel. I think you could see kind of an ugly one like – 22-19 or 24-20, something like that, kind of comfortably under 50.5. I think that these defenses are pretty good. And SC's offense hasn't shown me like a ton. So going across country, I think this game is played in the low 20s or the teens.
I'm also going to stick on the Undertaker train here. And I'm going to jump on Purdue and Illinois. And ugly. I'm going to take under 48.5. That one's just going to be gross. And I think Bielema, don't look now. Luke Altmyer, pretty solid. He's found his niche. He's found a groove. Works well with that offense. Bielema and then we're going to just ball control. Purdue is god-awful. They might be
what's one of this line?
D5 teams.
The line is 21.5.
Dang. You can get it at 23. You can get it at 22.5.
Yeah, if you want the other side, you should avoid that. Yeah.
I was going to say, I think Purdue covers, but I'm taking total. Like that's going to be a disgusting game.
I think this is like 42-3 Illinois.
Yeah, I don't know that Purdue's scoring 7.
They're not scoring, and then also just Illinois is just going to just play old school Big Ten.
What concerns me is if Purdue does score 7 and Illinois wins 28-7 and they don't
23-7 and you don't even close.
Otherwise, I would take Illinois.
Yeah.
I'm with you there. This is an ugly game. This is one of those you should avoid at 2:30. Go to a pumpkin patch. Do something else. Don't do Purdue, Illinois. That shouldn't end. You better have a lot of TVs if you're watching this game.
All right. I've got two picks, and I'll be fast since I've got two. I want to take the Missouri Tigers minus 27.5 at UMass after last week. They're going to have like a frustration annihilation of the Minutemen. And then nothing more than that. Like they have to – this is one of those where the head coach has to make everybody happy, you know, yada, yada. All right. The second pick I want to make is
– what was that line?
What was 27.5.
Okay.
Missouri's laying 27.5 at UMass.
I think it
it's 11 a.m. kick.
They're playing at UMass. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I remember we Googled that stadium.
It's just two sides. It looks like Pedal High School.
Truly, they're playing at like the Gillette.
No.
You would be wrong. They're going to Amherst. I don't even know where they're flying into.
All right. The second line I want to take is the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets -5.5 at North Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 weeks ago, Mac Brown asked them if they wanted him to retire.
Dude, North Carolina, they're on quit watch.
Yeah.
That's a bad thing, your coach, if you ask him midseason, would you like to retire?
Mac Brown just went into the office and he was like, hey, so y'all want me to stay or you go or what do you want me to do?
I'll quit if y'all need me to. Mac Brown's like 80 years old.
That's literally what you said.
There's nothing wrong with that, but I wouldn't be coaching a college football team in 2024 at 80 years old. It's not 1994 anymore. This isn't Joe Paterno.
He told us about the staff that that's what he did, and they were like, you did what? And then, like, the next week he was like, nah, I'm just kidding. Fucking Cookeville, baby. Cookeville's finest. All right, I'm going to go ahead and jump on this, get my first money line in here. I'm going to go to the Empire State, and I'm going to take Buffalo +280 against Toledo. The Rockets are on hard times right now. They are not great. I like the Bulls. They've been playing all right football this year. And Toledo is just kind of dreadful at this point. Unless they're playing Mississippi State. But I like good value there. I like that one.
Yeah, how did Toledo beat? I guess we should have seen it coming. They beat MSU by 24, and then they lost the next week at Western Kentucky. Maybe they're just good at home.
Could be.
Now that I'm seeing that. That's an interesting.
I've got a money line sprinkle.
Go ahead.
The Florida Gators.
2 weeks in a row. Fade the Vols.
Hey, I hit them. It paid for me last week. We're doing it again, baby. I can get it at +500.
I thought about it. Lightning's not striking twice for.
Here's the weird thing.
God, so if it was Florida, in Gainesville, it'd be weird.
Florida opened +750 money line. It's down to +500, yet the line has shifted from 11 to 15.5. That's how many people were taking Florida money line. Like, you either take Florida money line or you take Tennessee to cover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't, I'm not a believer in Tennessee. I'm just not a believer in them. They proved me right last week.
You can say it was a one-off, but if you're going to do the, well, Ole Miss had one bad game. Okay, well, Ole Miss has a third-year starting quarterback. Like, Tennessee still has a young pup.
Yeah.
And got a little exposed last week.
He's going to be probably the number one overall pick in 3 years or 2 years, whatever. I mean, he's incredibly gifted physically, but there's only so much you can do as a freshman.
Well, I keep telling my Tennessee friends, I'm like, dude, like, Tennessee's a year away.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean they're not good this year, but just I think Nico with another year is going to be even better. And don't look now, but Florida has not quit. You know, we talk about North Carolina being on quit watch. They're still playing hard for Napier.
Yeah, they are.
So, not quit. I mean, look, Florida goes into Tennessee and wins.
Yeah.
And
saving a job.
Things are going to start getting real interesting. They host Kentucky. They play Georgia and Jacksonville, which is probably a loss. But Georgia is not great offensively.
They've got some soul searching over there to do.
The problem with Florida, man, is they go to Georgia and Texas back to back.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Man,
it's about to
get LSU than us.
It's about to be a real suck fest with the schedule. how about this? Suck fest. How about this? Tell me when to stop. Tell me when to stop talking about
how tight those buttholes are going to be in Neyland Stadium on Saturday.
That's going to be there. That's going to be a nervous 100,000 people. Nervy as hell.
And y'all are higher on Florida than me.
No, I'm not saying Florida's going to go in there and beat them. I think Tennessee can win handily, but like they're still going to be nervy because they know. I mean, it's how Ole Miss fans were before South Carolina,
right?
Like you get the first loss, you got to bounce back. You got to show that it was, you know, hey, we're still here. I think this is where we're going to find out a lot about Nico. Is we know you're young, but like this is your team.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so keep in mind, Tennessee's second best, I guess, win behind Oklahoma is NC State, who got beat by Wake Forest.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Like
the dash. The claw fence, baby. It just slow burn.
Here's my thing,
has been really good since the Ole Miss game.
Yeah, no, you're right there. Here's my thing with Florida Tennessee, and it's the reason I'm taking over 55.5 in that game, which I think is entirely too low. I look at other than when they played UCF last week, in their games against like true P5 opponents, you have 41 to Miami, 33 to A&M, who I don't think has like the best offense, and then 28 to MSU, and that was like back and forth. I mean, they kept scoring. Point is that, and other than last week and then Oklahoma, who has a very good defense, Tennessee scores. I think this is going to be like high scoring. I just think Tennessee's defense is good enough to shut Florida down, but Florida's defense is a turnstile. I'm thinking this one's going to be like, I don't know, 38-28, way over. I mean, I don't even think it's going to be – I truthfully think Tennessee's probably going to break 40 in this game. I think it's going to be like 45-30 or something like that, 45-28. Mm-hmm. And I think they cover. I mean, I just – Tennessee's not going to play bad twice in a row. I think that offense is still pretty good.
Yeah. Look, if you're Ole Miss, you need Florida to cash here.
Be great.
Yeah.
It's just a money line sprinkle. I mean, it's a 15-point line.
Oh, yeah, and for sure. I think that Florida defense is still – they've still got a ways to go. I don't think Tennessee's going to be – against Oklahoma, it was a good defense. Against Arkansas, it was a weird game at night in Fayetteville, and they played poorly. I just don't think three times in a row they're going to struggle. That's why I'm going over 55. I just think that line's too low. And I think Florida's, like, kind of okay on offense. I mean, they just ran through MSU.
Yeah. How is Wake and Clemson a 20-point line?
Look, give me –
Wake's pretty bad.
It's in saying, like, I feel like that should be bigger.
Well, it's in Wake. It's at Wake, yeah. You know, it's a notoriously tough place to play.
All 31,000.
Look, I'm going to go against the grain here, and let me double check. I'm gonna take all of the 20.5. Give me that. I think Clemson's due kind of a stinker. They've been kind of playing above their head. I'm taking 20.5 at home.
This guy's crazy.
Clawson's gonna do some weird shit, make the game silly. Klubnik's still like everybody's all of a sudden thinks Klubnik is just this wunderkind. The front seven for Clemson's real. That's legit, no doubt about it. But ACC, like, road favorites, it gets silly.
Are we overrating Clemson a little bit because they beat App State, NC State, Stanford, and Florida State? Like, combined, those teams have, like, 5 wins.
Yeah. I mean, there's a good chance. I think
Let's see. Florida State's 1-5. Stanford's 2-3. App State is 2-3, and NC State is 3-3. But they're 0-2 in conference play. I mean, those are some bad teams that they've beaten, and they've beaten them well. But I kind of think we're just thinking Clemson's going to dog teams because they started putting up 66 points on App State.
Yeah, I don't know. this is just kind of one of those vibe picks where it's like, everybody's on Clemson. I'm going to go the other way.
I'm with you. All right, real quick. I've got one, and Austin's got the same thing. Kentucky 13 and a half. This is purely a, and I think he'd probably say the same thing. This is purely a fade. The team coming off of a massive win. I mean, what has Vanderbilt been doing all week? I mean, we know Pavia has been talking playoff, but everybody else has probably been talking about this is the biggest win in Vanderbilt history. They're going to Kentucky, and Bama's defense is kind of leaky a little bit. I mean, we saw what, you know, obviously Pavia played a good game, but I mean, they put up a lot of points on Bama's defense. They're not doing that to Kentucky.
Dude, they got schemed up. And I'm talking like they got sliced and diced.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're not doing that on Kentucky. Mostly because Kentucky's going to run. They run three plays. 2 minutes are coming off that clock. Guaranteed. I mean, they are going to sit on the football. They're going to sit on Vandy's chest. I think this one's going to be like 20-3 or 24-7. I just think it's going to be an ugly game. It keeps under that key number of 14. And I mean, I think it's going to be super low scoring. I don't think Vanderbilt's doing much at all.
Nobody, especially off the
week they've been riding high.
Kentucky can't have a player who isn't well rested at all times. Like they run 50 plays a game.
Oh my God.
They have to. I don't even know why they condition. Like they get a full minute break between plays
every single time. I mean, was it against, I think Georgia ran eight plays in the third quarter against them? I mean, like the whole quarter, and they had the ball. I think they had the ball twice, and both times they went for it on fourth down. That was the whole quarter.
Ole Miss had the ball 8 minutes for Kentucky in the first half.
But that's every game with them.
Oh, no.
All right.
And Vanderbilt plays slow, too. They're going to play slow, too, to shorten the game. They did last week. They had time of possession was pretty swayed in their favor.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna get up here on the board. Taking a home dog, Kent State, +6.5, hosting Ball State. Ball State has lost four straight games, 2 by 3 points, and 2 by 56 or more. They've allowed 51.8 points per game during this four-game losing streak. This is fun here. Teams seeking revenge against a team that is currently allowing 35 points per game or more, 209 and 163 against the spread. So 56.2%. That's since 2016. The Flashes are 16-11 against the spread in revenge mode since 2016. This is a sicko special here. But yeah, I like the Flashes at home just because Ball State has just been trash for 4 weeks.
Just for the record, so that people, in case they're unaware, Zach just took a team to cover in their 0-5.
Only on Hit That Line, baby.
I just needed everyone to know. And I was like, oh, that sounds pretty good. Then I looked up Kent State, and they've played – when they're not playing Tennessee or Penn State, they're actually, like, pretty competitive.
Yeah.
But, okay. And Ball State's terrible.
After the week six we had, you got to kind of let us cook here.
You have to. Last week was one of the better weeks you could possibly have.
Last week was lucrative.
I've got another one. I want double dip in this game. I want Colorado +4, and I want Colorado money line.
Yeah, I took Colorado +4. Tell us why.
You dog.
I think Kansas State is overrated. And not great. They beat up on some bad teams. I think they're getting a lot of bounce here from having beat an Oklahoma State team that just frankly sucks. They've lost three games in a row. And Kansas State whooped up on them by, 42-20 or something. And I can't trust a team who got blown out by BYU.
You're talking about college football playoff BYU.
College football playoff BYU, the Storm and Mormons. I just don't look. I'm not a Deion guy. I am not a Shador guy. I'm not even a Travis Hunter guy. the pub that Colorado gets is, I mean, Travis Hunter's a great player. I don't go out of my way to pull for him. With that said, they're catching this at home. It kicks at like 9:15 local time, I think.
That's wild.
8:15 or 9:15. Is that right? It's a late kick.
And yeah, 10:15 p.m. Eastern.
So 8:15 local.
Yeah.
Give me the home team who's got supposedly an NFL quarterback and the best player in college football at night against, you know, with points.
Off a bye.
I'll take them.
I think, too, I mean, Kansas State played really well last week. They destroyed Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State's trash, though.
They are. And also, like, we want to talk about Colorado because of what they did last year against Oregon when they, like, were talking all that noise. They came out and just got smacked. Well, this is, first of all, this is not Oregon. But also, I think that the growing pains they had last year, just, like, really playing poorly against good competition, showed them that, like, you got to kind of play football still. The game's not won before the game. And, I mean, they came out. I mean, they were close with Baylor, but what did they do against Colorado State? Methodical, beat them. And then they destroyed UCF 2 weeks ago. I mean, really did. This one's late. I like this one. What was the spread on it?
So I'm
– 4? Yeah, I love that.
This is a watch-your-ass spot for Ben. And, wait, Nick, you too. Yeah,
I took it too, yeah.
I'm going the other way. I'm taking K-State. I think this is where coaching matchups here. Chris Klieman is the better coach. I think they're going to have a plan. And listen to this stat. So since 2010, teams playing at home in a conference game as a dog of more than 3 points when coming off a huge upset, as a double-digit road underdog. I know this is a lot of qualifiers. 26-45 against the spread.
Pretty bad.
I like Avery Johnson a lot. When he stays within himself, he's very, very fun and can do a lot of good things. I mean, Kansas State had that 1 to 2 minute stretch against BYU that's just made them look terrible. Like you said, Nick, destroyed Oklahoma State last week. Beat a team you're supposed to beat the way you're supposed to beat them type game. I don't know. I'm going with Klieman here. I think he's going to have them ready. Because you know, like, these weeks when you're going up against Deion, like, it's personal for the coaches because you know they don't like him. I don't care what they say in interviews. Nobody likes Deion. Like, he's done this to himself. I'm laying them here. I think K-State will be ready. Klieman's the type of coach that'll have them from Jump Street. They'll be locked in on the road.
I like we're going against each other a little bit. And Ben, you wanted a money line too, right?
Yep.
Okay.
I think that the likely scenario is if Kansas State wins, then they're going to win big. So
yeah, I agree with that.
Even though I'm taking both the points and the cover, I did that last week. It worked for me twice. Worked for me with Tennessee. It worked for me with Florida. So I'm going to do it again this week with Colorado. Was Florida laying 2.5 last week against Central? I can't remember.
Yes, they started off -2.5, and then they ended up being +2.5. Wrong team was favored there. I mean, that was just simply wrong.
I don't have any more picks. We can read through Austin's, but I'm good. I know we've got a lot of time on this show talking about Ole Miss.
I've got a couple more here. If y'all don't mind, I'm going to take not Stanford -23. That's the wrong side. I want Notre Dame -23 because I think they're going to absolutely demolish Stanford. I know what Notre Dame did against NIU. But typically, Notre Dame plays a bad team. They beat them pretty badly. And I think Stanford is, like, a pretty bad team. On that same vein, I'm taking Army -26.5. They play UAB. It's awful. And I've said this long before. This is my thing when it comes to teams that kind of run that triple option, that if you cannot stop the triple option, it is going to be a really, really long day at the office. And I was at Army last week that beat Tulsa by about 50 points. Is that right? Do y'all recall?
Football. Yeah.
2024. Yeah, they absolutely put it on Tulsa. Yeah, 49-7. And I think that's the same thing that's happening here. I mean, UAB, I don't know what Trent Dilfer's doing over there. I mean, he's ruining the program is what he's doing. He's not doing
a lot of things well.
No, he's doing nothing well. And the last place you want to go when things are going poorly for your team and you just like the players are fixing to quit on you is to West Point. I mean, because as a team that is, I mean, they're going to do it all day. So that's -26.5. And then my last, I've got two more. Rutgers -2.5. I think they're going to beat Maryland. And then Oregon, Ohio State -53. I think this is kind of one of those games, Ben, you talk about it a lot. When teams are playing big games, they kind of come out timid early in the game. I don't think Oregon's offense is all that great. I think this is going to be one of those lower scoring games. I think it's going to be a game you look up middle of the second quarter and it's like, you know, 10-3 or something like that. I think it's going to be slow starting for sure. That was a lot. I know. I had a bunch.
If Ohio State can go into Austin and win, Ole Miss should have no problem going into Tiger Stadium and winning.
Oh, and the last one, I agree with that. The last one, talking about teams that going into places and winning, Mississippi State travels to Athens. They're not gonna win. But that -53.5, I know that the MSU offense is really bad, but I don't think that Georgia has any reason to like score 60 on them. MSU defense. It's a lot of points. So I'm going UGA MSU -53.5. I
just think you're just like an unders machine right now. I think what's going to start hurting you though is as parity continues and team there's like maybe we saw it a week ago. Maybe we're going to start seeing teams have to blow opponents out.
True.
You know what I'm saying? Like for style points with the committee, because in the scenario where there's like 7-9-3 teams. Or 6-9-3 teams. How do you pick at that point? Unless you have an expanded playoff, like while we have the 12 team, I don't know how you pick that.
Mm-hmm.
When you have Georgia's 9-3, LSU's 9-3, Ole Miss 9-3, Tennessee's 9-3, Alabama's 9-3, Texas A&M's 9-3, Texas 9-3. It's like, okay, well, Ole Miss beat LSU, LSU beat Alabama, Alabama beat Georgia, Georgia beat Texas, Texas beat LSU or A&M. You know what I'm saying? Like. I don't know how you like fix it, but maybe not. That's a deep theory of saying maybe Georgia blows them out. You're likely right. I think that game is 31-10 and comfortably under.
Looking at it, I mean, Georgia has scored more than 34 points once this year, and it was on Tennessee Tech, and it was 48-3. Their offense is not like made for scoring a bunch of points. I'm with you though. They're gonna have a mess on their hands this year, I think, at 10-2. I think there's going to be a lot of teams there at 10-2. Maybe there's a 9-3 team there, but yeah.
I had this question for y'all at the beginning of the show, and I forgot to ask it, but while I'm thinking about it, I need to. This is a brief break from the picks. If in the preseason I came to you and said, Ole Miss is going to go 10-2, and here are your two scenarios, all right? They go 10-2 with a loss to Georgia and a loss to Kentucky, or they go 10-2 with a loss to Georgia and a loss to LSU. Which one would you have taken?
Oh, the Kentucky loss. I mean, because yeah, we have an extra.
You get the head-to-head against LSU.
Right. And a road win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the big thing that scares me is if we go to Baton Rouge and lose, like if you want to be like Doomsday Guy, we go to Baton Rouge and lose, and then LSU loses, let's say, to Alabama, and that's it because the rest of their schedule is pretty easy, even though they do have to go to A&M. But LSU finishes 10-2, and we finish 10-2, and they're head-to-head against us. There's not a world that we get in over them. Now, and I'm wondering, on that note, if LSU beats us, and let's say we win out and beat Georgia and go 10-2, right? Like in that previous case, which would be difficult. But let's just say we did it. Georgia's not infallible. and LSU goes to A&M and loses, and they play Alabama and lose, and now they're 9-3. Does a 9-3 LSU get in over us with a win against us at 10-2?
No, I think that the Georgia win would have enough there.
Yeah,
I think so too. But I don't like that worry. I mean, we just watched Florida State not make it at 12-0.
Right.
Yeah.
We need Kentucky to win some games.
Yeah. Last two locks for me. Marshall -1.5. Covering machine this year. And Syracuse -4.5. Probably the only guy that's playing as well as Jackson Dart right now. Kyle McCord at Syracuse has been slinging around a lot up there. So I like those two. All right. That is going to do it. Real quick, I'll read all of Austin's locks. So Texas -14.5, Kentucky -13.5, Iowa -2.5, UCLA +5, Air Force, New Mexico over 54. I love that one. New Mexico gives up a lot of yards on the ground, so I like that one to go over. Oregon State, Nevada over 47.5. And then West Virginia money line +130. So, got a another full slate of locks for you for week 7. Which, I mean, guys, this is pretty special stuff here for this this slate. A lot of ranked on ranked. It's gonna be some good games. Ole Miss 6:30 ABC in Baton Rouge. That will be the game of the weekend, right next to Ohio State, Oregon. So prime time for the Rebs, and it'll be a good one. Stay locked in, ohmspirit.com. We will have coverage leading up to that, as well as recruiting coverage. And big shout out to all the sponsors, College Corner, USA Benefits Group, Roback, Home Field Apparel, and everything else that makes this show possible. We appreciate you for tuning in, whether it's YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Appreciate Ben, appreciate Nick, and appreciate Austin for his punctual locks, getting them in. So that'll do it. We'll be back for week 8. So for Ben over there, for Nick, I'm Zach. This has been the Flagship Hit That Line edition. Till next time, we're out of here.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.